Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Countryside Church. Online, virtually, you are able to experience what we hopefully love to experience in coming together. But because of our world situation, we are able to do that in a little different way. But praise God, we have technology to be able to do that. I hope today finds you all well. Beautiful day, sunny here in central Oklahoma. And we are going to be a simple service today. We're gonna pray a little bit. We're going to give a word, and I just want to be an encouragement for you all today. We haven't been able to meet, and so that's a big part of the body of Christ coming together. What you realize is how much you really enjoy something when it's taken away, how much it really means to you. And we miss you all. We really do. We haven't been able to see you all. I've been trying to reach out on phone calls, and we've been doing other things, trying to get things going as far as working this technology. And keep us in prayer as we continue that for him and I and our family. And I thank you for all your prayers and everybody's help. But I want to take some time this morning. We're going to lift up in prayer our families, our communities, our nation, our world. And why don't you join with me in prayer as we bow our heads before our Almighty God and how awesome he is that we can go to him. Why don't we bow our heads humbly before him. Father God, as we often do and start services in prayer, we thank you that we can come to you. And we lift up our needs to you as every eye is shut and every head bowed just in unity right now as my voice is going out, everybody agreeing in prayer. We lift up the needs of our church families. Often we will take prayer requests and people will raise up their hands for a praise or a need of family members. And we want to do that here now as I'm sure many have needs right now and many have prayer requests right now. For our church families that have needs of people being saved in their family. Lord, this is a time that is ripe that the people that have been refusing God and at arm's length from you may be a little more ripe to hearing the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. May you open up avenues wherever they are to be able to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and begin a walk in a relationship with him that is fulfilling beyond our wildest dreams. Lord, we also lift up the needs financially and physically for our families. Many are maybe not able to work or are maybe needing situations that are beyond their control right now that they can't figure out. Lord, meet those needs. And I thank you that you can provide us all with what it is that we need. It's your presence and beyond that our physical and our relational and our social needs. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Lord, I want to pray over the medical workers. We have some that work in hospitals that come to this church, and we lift them up to you as they are standing on the front lines and fighting this battle against this virus and putting themselves in danger. Lord, provide the necessary tools they need and the stamina they need and the ability to work together. Allow their emotions to be able to be put aside as they basically work as people that are just have one mission, and that is to be on the front lines of this situation with this virus in these hospitals. Protect them from disease. Protect them from danger. Keep them strong in their bodies and in their minds and in their souls. Even use this to bring nurses and doctors and EMT workers to your knowledge, Lord, of your salvation. We are thankful for that. And we pray for this time of service that we as a church body here at Countryside Church in the middle of Oklahoma can gather together. I thank you for each one of the people who come here and those who are maybe joining us virtually and outside of our borders. We thank you and welcome them as your word goes forth, as we lift you up and glorify you, as we take time to step outside of our worries and our troubles and our anxieties to say that you are our God, you are our peace. Jesus, have your way. So we just take this time to simply lift this all up to you. We take this time to glorify you. We take this time to let your word minister to us. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I do want to encourage you because we don't have a song service. Our worship team isn't here. Maybe go ahead and put on some favorite worship music that you have sometime today and give glory and singing to the Lord. There is a special blessing of the ministry of music to our hearts. And obviously when we're singing to God and we're singing about him and giving him praises, there's a special ministry in our hearts. Take some time today to go ahead and find a few songs that bless you and sing those out loud to the Lord. He doesn't mind where you're at or how your voice is. Give him the praise and the glory as we aren't able to do that together. That is one of my favorite parts of the services that we do together is music. But I want to encourage you all to do that. So God bless you all. I want to thank you, special thanks, as we've been making calls also to people, we've received calls from people in the church. And that's an especial big blessing for us, as we are always reaching out to know that there are those that are reaching out to us. Those who have prayed for us and taken time to say, I want to pray for you, pastors. I want to lift you up. Thank you for that. And for those who are doing that at home, thank you for that. We know and feel those prayers, and we are encouraged by that during these difficult times. Freedom and I are running around doing a lot of work and things that are outside of our comfort zone, but we're willing to do that to be a blessing as this flock and this little gathering called Countryside Church continues to grow. And we will get through this. We will be stronger for this, and we will trust God that He's using this for His glory and our good. Amen. Amen. I hear you all out there. So let's take a time. I'm going to just give a simple word today, preaching out to you all out there. I'm not able to see your faces, but I'm imagining those sitting here in these pews, knowing exactly where most of you sit normally. And I'm going to preach to you all that are listening. And today we're going to talk about a comforting relationship, a comforting relationship. I'm going to be preaching probably the next several weeks, Lord willing, out of Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 is a blessing of a psalm. And the word that I grabbed out of this to start this series in Psalm 23 is comfort. Comfort. And the question I asked as I began to take this study apart is, I asked myself, and maybe we can ask, what is comfort? For some, it might be the absence of need. I don't have any desires right now. I'm fulfilled. Comfort can be that for some people. For some people, maybe those who are sick or in a situation that's difficult and painful, it could be comforting to be free from pain. A freedom of pain can be comforting, physically, relationally. For some, we find it to be an illicit response to a need. So comfort comes from satisfying an addiction with a substance that really doesn't provide a satisfaction or comfort. But hopefully for you, and maybe those who are listening for the first time and trying to figure out what this is all about, I want us to understand comfort as it has to do with the presence of God in our lives. The presence of God in your life. Comfort. And for sure, Psalm 23, arguably, one of the most frequently quoted scriptures in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we might have Romans 8:28 or John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus in Romans 8. But for sure, Psalm 23 in the Old Testament is extremely well known. And I don't want it to be so well known that we don't even know its meaning anymore. We just say the words. I want them to have meaning. You know, if I ever wanted to minister for him, and I would be somewhere and it's a gathering and we would want participation from whoever it is that's in the audience and I would want somebody to respond, it would be very easy to get response by saying out loud Psalm 23, because it always is a go-to word. It's well known enough to have participation. And in all honesty, there is a supernatural sense of care in its words. They are the words in Psalm 23 that reflect the absolute trust in Almighty God. Words that bring a peaceful expectation to our very soul. Today the question goes out, what if, fill in the blank, what if I get this virus? What if I don't get through this with my job and my bills? What if this all overwhelms me? But I would like maybe to change those what if questions to the problem to the solution. What if God really is who He says He is? What if God is big enough to handle what you have now figured out you can't handle in this world? What if, and a solution found in God? Comforting. That word in Hebrew in this psalm, comfort, is the word nakam. And it means this, to comfort, to console, to extend compassion. And get this, it means to sigh with one who is grieving. Nakam, that Hebrew word, brings the sense of deep empathy. And to be a person who weeps with one who weeps, this is what nakam means. And it's a comfort that God has for his children. It's a very godly comfort that comes to us and which we can then give out to others. And I want us to all get this as we begin this understanding of comforting, is that before we be the person that when we hear troubles always has an answer for the trouble, I want us to be the people and that person who comforts others by experiencing the emotions that the problem is causing that person. Letting the situation of that person's life affect you. This is actually very biblical. Romans 12:15 says this, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." You see, comfort by its very nature is a relational word. It takes people to have a comfort experience and response. And the question today is going to be, as we go through this psalm, I'm going to go through it and we're going to sit in that first verse for a while. The question for us today is, in what relationship do you find comfort? Ask that to yourself as we prepare God's word before us. Let us pray as we open up God's word. Father God, I do thank you that as we open up these words, that my thoughts and my thinking through these words goes away, and your Holy Spirit takes these words and ministers out there to the people that need to hear it. Lord, I'm in the audience too. I need you desperately. There's no way that life can be done on my own, whether at this moment with this crisis affecting the world, or even when all things are really good. Lord, I can't do this on my own. Let that be our prayer today. We need you, God. And I want us to understand our relationship with you is rooted in comfort. So open up our hearts and open up our minds and open up our spirits, Lord, to receive from you what we have this morning. And be a blessing, be an encouragement to get us through another moment that you have given to us to live, and being a comfort to others and encouragement to the world around us. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want you to get a hold of your Bibles, please. Get a hold of God's word, a copy of his word, and enter into the somewhere in the middle in the Psalms, the book of Psalms. We're going to read Psalm 23. I'm going to take the entire psalm, but I'm only going to be talking about verse 1 this morning. Let's go ahead and read Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Familiar words, comforting words. Let not that familiarity breed any disdain about what these are really talking to us. Receive what God has for you. And make no mistake about it, this psalm is all about the relationship that we have with the one true God. And if we look at this psalm, because the way the Bible's put together, there's two psalms, obviously, on the beginning and the end of this psalm, Psalm 22 and Psalm 24, which make up a trilogy of psalms that talk all about the aspects and the attributes of God in a wonderfully complete way. If we look at Psalm 22, you don't have to go there, you could read this later. But Psalm 22, what we find is a psalm praising God for being a suffering servant. A suffering servant. In leadership aspects, when we teach here Freedom, and I, when we disciple people, we teach them all about leadership being a servant aspect of leadership. And God has given us perfect picture of servant leadership in Psalm 22. Next, after Psalm 23 and Psalm 24, we find the praising of God as he is the sovereign King of glory. Big God. This is an awesome God. He's awesome in all ways, but this is where we find a majesty about him. But here in Psalm 23, we find a psalm of relationship. He's coming down to our level. He's interacting with us in humanity to comfort us. And with God, it's a relationship like any other we as humans can experience. Your spouse, your sibling, your best friend, whatever it is out there that you are in relationship with has nothing compared to a relationship with your Creator. In fact, this is the very relationship we were created to experience. And relationships are very natural to us as humans. All of us experience, even the people that want to get away from everything, have an understanding of relationship. Often it's the relationships that cause that disdain and moving away. But think about it. As babies, our relationships with our parents mold our personalities. We're born with certain aspects and certain parts of our personality that are put into us, but our surroundings, our parents begin to mold those personalities. As we grow in our relationships with our siblings or other people in our social circles, we will be trained in how to use our emotions in relationship with others as we get older. Even strangers influence us in ways that affect us and how we relate to our world. We are relational creatures. And here in Psalm 23, we have a description, a descriptive term about as to how God relates to us as believers. Look at that first verse there in Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He uses the analogy of a shepherd, a picture of a shepherd. And it's really fitting of a picture as how God relates to us. If you understand what shepherds do, they watch sheep. And if God is the shepherd, that makes you and I the sheep. Everyone say, "Bah." Come on, I didn't hear you all. "Bah." There you go. We are the sheep. He is the shepherd. And the simple truth, and I don't want to get too downplodding on what sheep are and who we are as that analogy, but sheep are not exactly the most gifted of creatures in the wild. They don't really have much common sense, in all honesty. They really don't do well on their own. They have no real defenses. They don't really know how to find food and shelter. And when they're lost, they really don't ever find their way back. They're very stubborn. They're very bullheaded. To say it nicely, sheep are very needy creatures. A very fitting description of human beings. And the most shocking understanding of this description of us as sheep, listen to this, isn't that we are compared to these animals that aren't really that smart. That's not too shocking. The real shocking understanding is our Creator, Almighty God, wants to be our shepherd. He wants to reach out to us as these failing creatures and have compassion, and He wants to comfort us. God wants to relate to us as our shepherd. That's shocking. That is comforting. And that makes me stand back and say, "Thank you, God," because I probably wouldn't be that type of a God. Psalm 23:1 again says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we can start with this relational point. Point number one, write this down if you take notes. God's relationship with us is interactive. It's interactive. Notice in verse 1, David, who is the writer of this psalm, King David, this would have been written later on in his life, probably when he was older. He had gone through a lot in his life, many ups and many downs. And David knew much about God leading him. And so King David writes in this psalm, in this relationship and interactive, and he understands who God is. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." My shepherd. Underline that word, "my," in your Bible. He understands that we can personally relate to God. You, your spouse, your family, your friends, me, personally can relate to God as my shepherd. We can look to Him as the supplier of all our needs. That next part of that verse says, "I shall not want." He is not saying some standoffish entity that expects us to tend to ourselves. He kind of sets it all in motion and then says, "Hey, I'll see you later. I'm going to go take a break." We may act that way. We may say, "Hey, God, thank you for getting me through that problem. Hey, God, thank you for supplying that need. I'm going to put you back up on my shelf. And when I need you, I'll give you a call." We may act that way. We may be really good at pursuing self-sufficiency. But all honesty, self-sufficiency really ever, never, doesn't ever happen. There is no such thing as human beings being self-sufficient. All it takes is one wrong turn in your plan, one wrong turn in your bank account, one wrong turn in your health, and everything collapses. We're seeing that in the world today. In a matter of weeks and months, one little virus has taken down the entirety of 6,000 plus years of human existence to its knees. But there is one who will never be affected by a rogue virus. There is one who will never be affected by some economic downturn. And that is our, yours and mine, good shepherd. If you know Jesus Christ by faith, you know exactly what I'm talking about. What we have to work out is this. Are we one of his sheep? He's extending his arms. He's extending his resources. He's extending his comforting love. Are we responding? And it's because of this relationship that we can then begin to say, how am I doing? How am I responding? Because the relationship with God works in both ways. It's mutual. If we claim him as my shepherd, he has the right to claim us as his sheep. He owns us. He's bought us with a price. Psalm 95 verse 7 says this, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. He is our God and we are his sheep. It's a give-give relationship. He gives to us all we need. Salvation, hope, joy, love, peace. We give to him all of us. Our time, our talents, our treasure, our hearts. Embrace the fullness of that relationship and all of its comforting interaction. His relationship is interactive with us. Next we find in this picture, number two, you can write this down. God's relationship with us supplies companionship. You know, even people who are off on their own in the woods somewhere often will have a dog or a pet of some sort. It's very normal to have some kind of reality with life. We have some interaction. We are, again, made as relational creatures. Companionship is very natural. And this part of the relationship in God is only found in one person. One person, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the only way that we find companionship with God. No other worldview, no other philosophy, no other religion ever has had an understanding of relating to God through God sending his only begotten Son to forgive us our sins so we could be restored. Every other philosophy, every other religion has something that we are doing to earn the greater power, the one in the sky, the thing that's out there that we don't know, how we get out there and try to earn him to see us. But God reached out first with Jesus Christ to us. He said before the foundation of the world, God had already understood the plan. And that is awesome. John 10:11 says this, Jesus speaking, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You see, in Psalm 23, when David was writing this as the Lord is my shepherd, he was forecasting the coming of the true good shepherd, Jesus. But listen to those words again in the example of the relational companionship of Jesus. He gives his life for the sheep. He doesn't abandon the sheep. He doesn't let the sheep fend for themselves. Rather, he provides a sense of family. He provides a sense of oneness, of unity. In fact, as believers, we have a stronger relationship bond with our Savior than with our blood family who aren't believers. Get that. If your blood family doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior and you do, your relationship with God through Jesus is stronger than that. See, we can see the picture of our fathers or our siblings or our cousins. But if they don't know Jesus, if they're not a brother and sister in Christ, your relationship with God is over that. Mark 3:35 says, whoever does the will of God, this is Jesus speaking again, whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. And that relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ is stronger than your blood relationships here on earth. God provides companionship to his people. He is interactive. And here's one more. Number three, God relates us to us through revelationship. Now, I don't know if that was a word. I just made that up, but I hope to understand and give you this revelationship. We can understand the truth that God knows us. Of course he does. He knows everything. Matthew 10:3 says he knows your name. The Bible says he knows how many hairs are on your head. But what is truly amazing is we get to know him. The revelationship, him relating to us through him revealing himself to us. He doesn't have to show us who he is. He doesn't need us. He has no fulfilling in like, I have to do this or else. He does it because he loves you. He does it because he knows you as sheep need to know who he is as the shepherd. We need to know his attributes. We need to know he is love. He is merciful. He is transcendent. I'm taken back to the picture of the Greek society. This is in Acts chapter 17. Paul, the great apostle of the faith, is going through the times of the Asian and European continent. And he goes into Greece. And he goes to the Areopagus. And he goes to the men of Greece. These were the big thinkers back then. These were probably the disciples of Aristotle and Plato. Always thinking, always trying to find some kind of intelligence to grasp. And he came across that writing of a deity writing, and it says, to the unknown God. You see, these men who didn't understand who God was tried to figure it all out, knew something was there, and they said, at least there's something out there, we just don't know him. But God wants you to know him. In John 10:4, it says that the sheep, we know his voice. He wants you to even know how he speaks and what he sounds like. He reveals himself to us. He is the shepherd that the sheep listen to, and it's rooted in dialogue, the relationship. A shepherd and a sheep walk with each other. Young David, as he was older, was probably reflecting on the time because he was a shepherd in his youth. And he was probably, understand this, in the Middle East when these young kids, some of them little girls, teenage girls, even younger, walking through the fields, or basically rock, trying to find fields for the sheep. The sheep would listen to the voice. They'd make clicks or little sounds, and the sheep would know that shepherd's voice as they would walk through the barrenness of the wilderness to the next green pasture. And they would listen, and they would perk up when they heard the voice. So King David knew this very well, that when we as sheep listen and God speaks, we're to perk up. We're to recognize his voice. And the shepherd walks with them. The shepherd talks with them. It's like that song in the garden. He walks with me and he talks with me. I don't think we understand. Maybe in the Bible Belt we're really used to this. But do you understand the creator of the universe, who has no need of us, walks and talks with you? He did that in Genesis, if we remember, with Adam. In the cool of the garden, he walks with us. A relationship. So God has blessed us with the ability to have a relationship with him. It's a relationship that is interactive. It's a relationship that provides companionship. And it's a relationship that shows him to lovingly reveal himself to us. And that relationship needed a sacrifice. See, when we were born separated from God, loved ones. And if you are knowing Jesus today, if you are saved, if you know that you came to salvation, you know that day or that time, that moment where you finally surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you know that it was because you were separated by your sin. See, God has a standard to relate to him. Perfection. And I don't think it takes very long into the Ten Commandments to realize God's standard being perfection, that none of us attain to that perfection. And so sin separated us from God. And all that I talked to you today from that first verse in Psalm 23 shows how God wants it to be right again. And so Jesus' death was that sacrifice. It provided the way back to the Father. And in return, when we embrace that by repentance, by turning from our ways and our thoughts and our sin, and embrace Him by faith through that cross, 2,000 years ago, that cross happened, and it's still as fresh today for you as it was for those people standing there. That blood is flowing to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And in return, we have to understand that we must sacrifice our self-will. We lay down our lives before the cross and say, God, take it all. This may be a time in the world where we are realizing that everything I put my trust in, all the things that I wanted to do, you teenagers, you young adults, all the hopes and dreams you have in the future, they may be questioned right now. For all of you in your 30s, 40s, and 50s, and all your retirement plans, they might be in question right now. For you who are older and hoping to see maybe your great-grandchildren, you don't know how long you have on this earth maybe right now. But see, God says, lay that at the cross and let me take up those burdens. And this may be a time in our world where our desires and our plans and what we want to do are laid down rightfully at the foot of the Savior. And He looks at us lovingly and says, I've got so much more than what you had here. He's looking at all those things you had planned. He said, yeah, these are good, but I've got so much more for you. Are you ready? So the question maybe as we enter into this Sunday afternoon, what if God really is who He says He is? What if Jesus really does supply all the needs that I never even knew I had? And what if His plans are far greater than mine? Those are questions that have wonderful answers because He personally knows you and will guide you into the fulfillment of the days He has for you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the understanding of the comfort of the relationship that we have in you. And we want to know you more as that shepherd, Lord. We want to know more your voice. Speak, God. Let us hear. Open our ears. And open our hearts and let our minds not be distracted, but let us embrace you fully in our lives. Lord, I thank you for this time in our world because it's opening up the hardness that's in society, the self-sufficiency that we have built up. And it's bringing us to a point where we are asking questions about how you are our sovereign. So Lord, I ask everybody listening right now, that whether they know you personally as Savior or not, that they understand that you will fulfill those needs. To those who know you, to be raised up in the strength of that faith. To those who don't, to bow their knee before Jesus Christ and accept Him as Savior today. I thank you for all that have listened today. Thank you, Countryside Church family. We want to just let you know that we are praying for you. We are here. Call us anytime. Visit us. On Facebook, on our website. We want to interact. We want to stay connected. God bless you all, and may God be that good shepherd in your life today and forevermore. Have a great week in the Lord. You are loved. God bless.